content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from a couple of sources. I'm going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine. Up front, the A-list, 7 surprising things about Arsenio Hall. 1. His family moved all over Cleveland. The upside is, I became a real social animal, learning to make friends. The downside is, I don't have a lot of friends from childhood because we always moved away from them. Sometimes I wish I knew where Vivica, my first girlfriend, was, or Marcy Smith, who used to braid my hair while we watched Good Times. 2. Carson was his idol. I'd love to say I vibed with the wonderful writing of The Tonight Show or his interviewing skills, but I think the thing that resonated most about Johnny was how he looked. He was so sharp. 3. He worked as a child magician. I watched my dad, a preacher, move people with his voice, so I knew I had that quality. And when I went to conventions as a magician, I got comments from adults. You're funny, kid. I didn't realize it, but it was all coming together. 4. Hollywood was hand-to-mouth at first. I remember going to a Ralph's supermarket, and you could sample a piece of sausage. I became a pro at eating sausage samples and getting full. 5. Coming to America led to his talk show. It was an idea of Eddie Murphy's. One day he said, you know, I think it would be cool if I could meet girls and them not know who I am, because you never know who you can trust. That was the idea behind Coming to America. We took it to Paramount, and Paramount said, how about if a lot of people that you meet are played by you? We took that idea to the moon. As soon as that was finished, Paramount said, come back and do a talk show. 6. Being the first black late-night host was a real balancing act. I exposed America to black culture, but I knew I had to balance Q-Tip with Dolly Parton to make sure I got a large enough share of the viewing pie to stay on the air, like I was doing it for myself and my mom, because no one else was happy with it. But I kept fighting, and I got 6 good years in. 7. He and Jay Leno have been close friends a long time. We're on the road now doing a show called Kings of Late Night. We still argue constantly about a joke and how to do it, whether it works. But he's like a big brother to me to this very day. And this was as told to Lisa Rosen. Comedian Arsenio Hall, 70, hosted the groundbreaking syndicated late night program, The Arsenio Hall Show, from 1989 to 1994, starred opposite Eddie Murphy in the hit film Coming to America, and appeared in the cult favorite Harlem Nights. His memoir, Arsenio, written with Alan Eisenstock, was published on March 31st. Now I'm going to switch over to a different issue of AARP, the magazine, and to an article that we read some from last time, Fraud Tales from the Trenches. And we have 2 more tales from the trenches here. Mexican drug cartels turn to timeshares. The crime is the condo swap con. Roughly 10 million American households own a timeshare. Many of them wish they didn't. James, who requested anonymity, is one of them. He bought into his Lake Tahoe timeshare back in 1996, and it has become a financial burden. So when a call arrives in October 2022 from a broker named Michael with an offer to purchase the timeshare, James jumps at the chance. He signs a contract sent by an escrow company and thanks his good fortune. But just before closing, Michael calls to say there's a property transfer fee that James must pay for the deal to close, $2,696. He pays. Then there's another fee, $3,595. But Michael says the buyer has agreed to reimburse that amount. And sure enough, James can see it credited on the escrow website. So he wires that payment too. Over the next several months, the pattern repeats again and again. Tantalized by the prospect of finally getting his money, James sends $16,000, $18,000, $22,000. Eventually, those payments add up to roughly $900,000. When Michael and team demanded a $157,000 payment, James said he doesn't have the cash. They tell him to take out a second mortgage on his home. Instead, he calls a timeshare transaction lawyer who tells him his money has been stolen, all $900,000. Freelance journalist Steve Fisher says this tactic is a favorite of the notorious Jalisco New Generation cartel out of Mexico. There are high-rise call centers staffed with cartel members who don't dare break ranks for fear of reprisals. For example, in 2023, the dismembered remains of 8 murdered young Mexicans who worked at one such call center were found outside Guadalajara. U.S. government officials estimate that the cartel and other Mexico-based criminals are now making hundreds of millions of dollars every year from American citizens who think they've found the answer to their timeshare prayers. In August 2025, the U.S. Treasury Department imposed sanctions on a network of 13 businesses in or near Mexico's Puerto Vallarta, all associated with timeshare scams and the cartel. To try to sell a timeshare legally, check out ARDA, ARDA.org, that's the American Resort Development Association, and ignore unsolicited callers claiming they can sell it for a fee. And next, the crime is fake car loans. He got loans for a Russian mobster. Searching for rentals or roommates online comes with risks. But Theron Miller, a member of the Oklahoma National Guard, doesn't dream that listing his room for rent will entangle him with a Russian mobster running a luxury car crime ring. Brant Holloway rents Miller's room, and the two become fast friends. When they talk about starting a business, Holloway has a proposition. They can open a used car dealership together. Holloway loops in his financial partner, a man in Florida named Lyle Livesay, who swiftly sets up about a half dozen loans at different local banks. All Miller has to do is sign the paperwork and turn the checks over to Livesay. Miller is told to list Holloway's other business, a local vape shop, as his employer, allowing him to claim a higher income needed to secure the loans. Within a week, they've gotten nearly $500,000 to open the dealership. But the loans are odd. They are car title loans secured by luxury autos Livesay supposedly owns in Florida. And soon Holloway gives Miller bad news. His ownership share is being drastically reduced. Miller tells his girlfriend, Kirsten Strickler, who works as a bank loan officer, that something feels off. She does some digging on Holloway and Livesay, and one name keeps coming up again and again. Manny Kolpaviv. The New York Times have reported that he was a cooperating witness against Russian organized crime. Strickler tells Miller not to go to Florida, warning that Kolpaviv's partners sounded dangerous. How did a Miami-based Russian mobster target an Oklahoma guardsman? Kyle Svensson, a reporter with the Washington Post, says Kolpaviv's scam involves recruiting straw purchasers like Miller to buy luxury cars in their own names with the responsibility of paying back the loans. By the time the purchaser realizes the business is fake, Kolpaviv has profited by reselling or leasing the vehicles, including Bentleys, Maseratis, Lamborghinis, Ferraris, and Porsches, valued at some $9 million. Kolpaviv runs the scam from Ukraine and casts a wide net for American strawmen like Miller. Worse, Miller's lawyer tells him he has committed several felonies by lying on the various loan applications. Desperate, Miller walks into the Oklahoma City FBI office and confesses his role in the crime. An agent there offers him a deal. Go undercover for the government and you'll avoid prosecution. During the next several months, Miller wears a wire and records conversations with Holloway and Livesay. About a year later, those two are arrested and charged in a 9-count indictment. Ultimately, Livesay pleads guilty to money laundering and Holloway to conspiracy. Holloway gets 2 years in federal prison, while Livesay gets 8. 2 years later, Kolpayev is extradited from Ukraine to the U.S., and in 2024, he is sentenced to 10 years for bank and mail fraud, the result of a multi-agency federal sting called Operation Riding Dirty. I mean, even to this day, it's like a movie, Miller says. Now, from that same AARP magazine, let's look at motivation secrets to get you moving again. Understand and overcome the traps that are keeping you from living the healthy, active life you want. Imagine you are exactly as you are now, except for one difference. You move as much as a typical 3-year-old. How would your average day be different? You would park your car and run to the grocery store entrance. You would run upstairs when it's time to bathe, or maybe you would stomp your feet with exaggerated high knee steps the whole way. Sofa time in front of the TV would involve rolling around from one end to the other, possibly even a somersault or two, and watching your favorite show while hanging your head upside down off the sofa cushion. You would sprint to the potty because you're so lost in whatever activity you're doing, you forgot you had to go. My point, a 3-year-old is in love with movement. Most adults avoid it. Roughly 3 out of 4 U.S. adults fail to meet the physical activity guidelines for aerobic and muscle-strengthening activity. If that's you, somewhere along the line you fell out of love with movement. Why? That's a complicated answer, but my goal is clear. I want you to fall in love again. Move more, feel better. Movement is by far the best medicine I know. Which health problems can physical activity help address? Here's a sampling. Heart disease, dementia/Alzheimer's, certain cancers, osteoarthritis, depression, type 2 diabetes, pre-diabetes/metabolic syndrome, fatty liver, hypertension, high cholesterol, autoimmune disorders, ADHD, sleep apnea, anxiety, asthma, menopause symptoms, low back pain, erectile dysfunction, stress, and more. Let's simplify this further. The biggest health threat we face isn't cancer or heart disease, it's low fitness. A sedentary life, the life more and more of us are living, promotes many diseases. A growing body of research shows that low fitness causes more premature deaths than smoking, obesity, and high blood pressure. But it's not just the number of years we live, it's the quality of those years that matters. Not just the lifespan, but the health span. Average life expectancy in the United States is about 78.4 years, according to the most recent data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. But in late 2024, researchers found that the average health span gap, the difference between our longevity and our years of healthy life, was 12.4 years. That's more than 15% of our lives spent in deteriorating health. Movement is the best answer to this challenge. It is the one thing we can use and trust to elevate ourselves, our health, our mood, our abilities, our perspective, our optimism, our appetite for living. And very little exercise is required to achieve real benefits. In one study of 334,000 Europeans, the people who enjoyed the greatest benefits of exercise, a 16-30% drop in mortality risk, were the ones who went from inactive to moderately inactive. This doesn't mean you're running a marathon. It means you're getting out and doing something active for about half an hour every day. So, what's keeping you from starting a new exercise program or sticking with an established one? The number one barrier to physical activity reported by people with obesity, according to a review of 27 studies, was straightforward: lack of motivation. What makes some people motivated to take care of themselves while others aren't? What can we do to enhance our healthy motivation to help us all push ahead? I wish identifying the source of a person's inertia were as easy as spotting a torn ligament on an MRI, but motivation is a highly individualized thing. To understand what motivates you and what saps your willpower, you need to take a look inside yourself. These four mind tricks will help you understand your own motivational profile and how you can begin to push yourself in a positive direction. So here we go. Motivation secret number one, set up incentives. Behavioral economics researchers call the perceived effort of something its cost to act. If you think a task will be hard to do, that means its cost to act is high. That's motivation in a nutshell. When it comes to any healthy choice, food, fitness, sleep, and other critical things like taking medication properly, it all comes down to whether we think it's worth the effort. So how can we increase the payoff of exercise to make getting healthier seem worth it? In a 2021 Nature study, researchers recruited more than 61,000 exercisers and tested 54 different ways to encourage more exercise. The top performing intervention: offering rewards for returning to the gym after skipped workouts. Adding a financial incentive reduced the cost to act to a level where exercise became worth it. No one will pay you to go back to the gym, but there are ways of paying yourself. Literally pay yourself. Put $5 in a jar each time you do something active. Then collect your earnings at the end of the month and splurge on something. Conversely, bet a friend you can exercise X number of times a week and give them a buck for each workout you miss. Make it a game. Compete against a friend who also wants to start getting fit and create a point system to determine the winner. A study published in JAMA Internal Medicine found that a 24-week exercise regimen that included points scoring or deductions helped people achieve the highest activity levels. And try temptation bundling. Combine something you like to do with something you don't, like going to the gym. In a study, people who were able to listen to an audiobook only while exercising visited the gym 51% more often than a control group who had no special incentives. And before we move on to number two, let's look at this sidebar section: the best exercises that don't feel like exercises. When you think of movement, you might think of something strenuous: running, weight training, ballroom dancing. They're all terrific, but they're not for everyone. You can reap surprising health benefits from simple, easy movements such as these. Standing. It's a sneaky good. Standing is always better than sitting, for starters. But if you want a surprise, try this. The next time you have a phone or Zoom call when you would normally sit and talk, stand for the duration of the call instead. But put yourself on speaker and hold something heavy in front of you the entire time. A medicine ball is ideal, but even a big book will work. One rule: remain standing and don't put the object down until the end of the call. Walking. This is our most basic form of exercise, and it's ridiculously effective for improving health. Imagine taking the 10,000 steps a day advice to heart and doing it for an entire year. That's 3.65 million steps. Of course, even a quarter of that total will make a big impact on someone who's sedentary. Weighted walking. As good as walking can be, adding weight to any walk makes it a better workout. The exercise, known as the farmer's carry, is just picking up a heavy object in each hand, like jugs of water, and walking while carrying the objects at your sides. or add a weighted backpack to your walk. This exercise, called rushing, is a foundational training strategy of the military. You can buy specialized rushing vests with adjustable weight plates, or simply toss a dictionary into a book bag. Standing on one leg. A 2021 study in the British Journal of Sports Medicine followed 1,700 older adults and found that after 7 years, nearly 18% of those who could not balance on one leg for 10 seconds, died during the study, compared with about 5% of those who could. Try this exercise while standing close to a wall or other support and see if you can eventually work up to a full 10 seconds standing on one foot. And taking the stairs. Those who climbed at least 5 flights of stairs, about 50 steps total, every day had a 20% lower risk of coronary artery disease and stroke, according to a 2023 study of 459,000 people in the journal Atherosclerosis. So for today, let's tackle one more. Motivation secret number 2, challenge your emotions. Some of our biggest motivational blocks come from what psychologists call cognitive biases. Essentially, we want our thoughts and feelings to be true, no matter what the evidence tells us. These underlying thoughts and feelings can often undermine our get up and go. When researchers looked at the emotions that keep us active or prevent us from staying active, they found these 4 determining factors. Perceived competence. Am I any good at this? Perceived social interaction. Am I comfortable around others doing this activity? Am I accepted? Perceived enjoyment of the exercise. Am I having fun doing this? Perceived physical exertion. How hard is this, really? Why would anyone do something that makes them feel incompetent, disrespected, bored, and exhausted? Well, the key word in that last sentence is feel. Negative emotions toward exercise tend to make people perceive exercise to be harder. Positive emotions tend to make people feel like, I'm really killing it. Basically, every choice we make is colored by our emotions. If you have negative feelings around exercise that are preventing you from taking action to get in shape, challenge them. What led you to perceive physical activity negatively? Was it a particular emotion? How did you come to feel that way? Are your conclusions doing you any good? Is this really a healthy stance to take? Are you committed to feeling that way even if you were given new options or opportunities? Do you feel that you're right and have no reason to rethink your position? Or are you open to reconsidering them? What would it take for you to perceive exercise in a positive way? What keeps you from that? Part of this is a trick answer. How you perceive exercise actually says a lot about how you perceive yourself. So at our next session, we will continue with that article, which does go on for a little while. So let's look at a few short items here in Upfront Go in AARP magazine. Selling a car could cost you. In some cases, your insurance bill increases. When you're looking to trim expenses, selling a spare car might make sense. But you also might get an unwanted surprise. Your auto insurance bill could go up. The dynamic at work here is statistical probability. The car you sell is likely of lower value than the one you keep. So, to the insurance company, a higher value vehicle is being driven more and has a greater chance of getting into an accident, says Kaz Welda, who writes about insurance for Nerd Wallet. And here's some saving tips. Call before selling. Rather than simply expecting rate relief, contact your insurer and do the math. Shop around. More than 60% of customers who switched carriers last year were able to cut their annual bill by at least $100, a LendingTree survey found. Get discounts. Many insurers offer multi-policy discounts for home and auto coverage. You may also be eligible for a senior discount, or you could get a rate cut for taking a defensive driving class, such as the AARP Smart Driver course. at aarpdriversafety.org. And boost your deductible. Increasing your comprehensive deductible from $100 to $500 could lower your annual premium by an average of nearly $500 per a bank rate analysis. And finally, consider keeping the car. If you own it outright and carry liability only insurance on it, it could make sense not to sell. Run the numbers. And here's a few suggestions about some travel tips. Hit these six stops for an epic road trip on Route 66. America's original highway to the West celebrates its 100th anniversary this year. Here are some notable sights. Chicago. Begin your adventure at the new starting point for Route 66, Chicago's Navy Pier. Springfield, Missouri. In 1926, state highway officials met here and proposed the name U.S. Route 66. Stroll historic Commercial Street for boutique shopping. Oklahoma City. This stop is in the middle section of the route. Walk by the Myriad Botanical Gardens with 15 acres of grounds and the stunning Crystal Bridge Conservatory. Albuquerque, New Mexico. This city boasts the longest urban stretch of the original Route 66 still in existence. 18 miles of glowing neon signs, vintage artifacts, retro motels, and honky-tonk dives. Flagstaff, Arizona, known as the gateway city for road trippers heading west, this town is 7,000 feet above sea level. Explore Arizona's majestic canyons and pristine pine forests. Santa Monica, California, visit the active Santa Monica Pier, where you can take a selfie by the historic end of the trail sign, then ride the world's only solar-powered Ferris wheel, or bicycle down scenic Ocean Avenue. And I have time to tell you about a few baseball museums. The National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown, New York, you can see a selection of the museum's more than 40,000 historic items. Negro Leagues Baseball Museum in Kansas City, Missouri. Louisville Slugger Museum and Factory in Louisville, Kentucky. Babe Ruth Birthplace and Museum in Baltimore, Maryland, and finally, National Ballpark Museum in Denver. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. We'll be right back.